You are listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast. Thanks for stopping in if you've never listened to me, or if you're new and you're continuing to listen to me and you realize I don't put my content out maybe as consistent as other people. Thanks for keeping stick with me. I do work full time, and I'm trying to start a affordable wellness health spa where people can come, or online people can reach out to me and get information. And I feel like I do give a lot of information to people free, just out of heart. But I also have to think about, we all need to support each other, and we all need to realize that there are people out there like myself that are working and working hard for you. And I've done so much free, and there's so much free content on my podcast that's very helpful. But if someone wants to really make an dent in their health and want to take it naturally, it's best to work with a health coach. And, you know, spend a little bit of money, get a little plan for some action, and then also helps you take those steps and those actions you have when it comes to owning your own health. And so this episode, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, I'm going to share a little bit of content from, this is an interview with Dr. Lee Mirror did with some other people about sick care and our failed healthcare system. And then we're going to get into NAC. What is NAC? I don't believe any drug, any supplement is a cure, but it was taken, like, you couldn't even find NAC on Amazon for a while. It was like banned a year ago. And why? And then why is it should be one of the things that you should be supplementing with in your everyday supplements? I take a ton of supplements. People see me take my pocket out of supplements that I take throughout the day, because I can't take a whole bunch at once. And I get looks, and I'm like, you know what? I don't care. This is what works for me and my body. So I'm hoping all this content, that it will spark the interest with you. I'm so excited that I've started on a journey with some new products about weight loss and not having to be completely in keto. Now, it's been helpful, but I understand my cortisol levels have been up too, and I've got to balance those out. I think then I would even see better numbers on the scale. There's a true thing of weight loss, cortisol and insulin. It's all about your hormones. Intermittent fasting, this is why intermittent fasting is so powerful. And then long-term fasting is so powerful. I've done episodes on that. There are so many books out there on it. I like Dr. Jason Fung's book on that. I have so much content. I feel like I put so much content that you can't even spend but days and days to go through all that much content I've put on this podcast. And those are things that have benefited me, that I know will benefit you. If you're looking to take your health in your own hands and take responsibility for your health and have better quality health, you need to be working with a health coach and a holistic nurse. Hey, I have got some time, more, very limited time to work with those clients that are ready to make those changes. If you are in Oregon, in a, you know, not 4 hours away in Southern Oregon, but Central Oregon or Portland, if you want to drive to me and make an appointment, I am going to offer things in person that are going to be amazing. So, all right, let's get to this content.
Drugs over time, you get weaker, and then the last 10, 15 years of your life, it's a revolving door to the emergency room. It's horrible.
Well, thank you and good evening. And I'm Dr. Lee Merritt again, your host at the Medical Rebel Podcast. And tonight I have a very nice, interesting guest to bring on, Dr. Peter Glidden. You know, I'm a classically trained physician. I spent many years in what I consider now kind of flat earth medicine. But one of the things I've learned over my lifetime, and especially more recently, is how we've been wrong about so many things and how real medicine has been hidden from us. And for example, I have a bunch of friends who are chiropractors, and I said to them the other night, I said, you know, I used to feel bad because you guys couldn't prescribe pharmaceutical agents. And now I feel like that's been your big plus because you've learned to do the right thing, where we should have gone in medicine about looking at causes and diet and the basics of human physiology. And we really have become pill pushers in so many ways. Not that there aren't some good pharmaceuticals, but it's not the end of the world. So I'm really honored tonight to have Dr. Peter Glidden here. And let me start by asking you, Dr. Glidden, about your background, and you're a naturopathic physician.
Oh yeah, so thanks, I appreciate it. And let's be honest. So I am a licensed naturopathic physician. The initials after my name are ND. And however, because of just what you were saying, there's been a medical monopoly in place in this country since 1912. And because of the medical monopoly that everybody has grown up inside of, people don't even know how to pronounce naturopathy, let alone know what the training of a naturopathic doctor is, or even have any idea whatsoever about what we do therapeutically. And of course, I would say this being a naturopathic doctor, but I believe that it's true based on my clinical experience. Naturopathic medicine is the best kept secret in the 21st century.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, there are a couple of things that I wanted to ask you about, and then I want you to explore kind of the things you think are the most important and some of the things that I want to incorporate. We've talked about this, I have a little shop, and I've been interested in providing. I started out simply having vitamin D in my office as an orthopedic surgeon, and I realized that wasn't enough. So then I added vitamin K, and then I added other things, and then pretty soon this thing broke out. And so what I'm finding is that people need to get things that really make a difference. And I didn't tell you this, but I'm also doing I'm putting together a seminar it's going to be a six-part, at least six-hour, probably more seminar that on how to be so healthy, essentially, you don't need a doctor, you know, survive and thrive now and in the future. So I think all we're going to talk about is going to feed into all this beautifully. So, but a couple questions I wanted to ask you is about you're thinking about water, which is the basis, I think, of good health, is we have to have good water. And you hear a lot of stuff about acidifying or not putting a base in your water, like, what am I thinking of? A quarter teaspoon of sodium bicarb. Right. And then we hear about low deuterium water. And I wondered if we could start there and then move on to the things you think are really important that we incorporate in our health program.
Well, water, of course, you know, the body's 90-something, 98% maybe made of water. It's very important. And the water quality is super important. Early on in my career, I've been doing this for 33 years now. I worked with a diagnostic laboratory in St. Charles, Illinois, and they were one of the first laboratories in the United States to do very high quality specific water testing, right? Way much more than your municipal government, you know, is required to do by law. And when I started testing the water that my patients were drinking, it was horrifying, the stuff that was found in the water. And of course, it infiltrates into the system and creates any number of net negative physiological occurrences. So having clean water is really important. There was a really interesting study. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer to understand that, you know, it's an really good idea if the water that you're drinking doesn't have pharmaceutical residue in it. It's a really good idea that the water that you're drinking doesn't have excessive amounts of iron in it, right? It's a really good idea that the water that you're drinking doesn't have dry cleaning chemicals in it, right? And so forth and so on, as far as the pollutants go. But there's a nutritive aspect to the whole water thing, which is even more important. It was a fascinating study. A colleague of mine was involved with years ago. They looked at the water supply in two different counties in Indiana. And in one of the counties, there was a statistically significant increase in depression. The diagnosis of depression and the prescription of antidepressants, it was very high in this particular county. And right next door, there was another county, hardly any depression at all. And so somebody got it into their mind to take a look at the water. So they looked at the water. And lo and behold, what they found was that in the county where the residents were never depressed, or at least that wasn't a big thing for them, there were significant levels of lithium.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be it.
Lithium, and there was none in the water supply of the people who were, depressed all of the time. And this is the fundamental naturopathic principle, right? And by the way, for those of in your listening audience who really don't know anything about naturopathy, and rightly so, in order to become a licensed naturopath in the U.S., it's 4 years pre-med, 4 years naturopathic medical school at a fully accredited by the United States Department of Education naturopathic medical school, 1,000 hours of clinical supervision, then you have to graduate, then you have to pass national boards, then you have to pass state boards, then you have to get a license to practice, then you have to do 25 hours of continuing education. Naturopathic medicine in the United States is full-blown primary care medicine, and it may interest people to know that in many states, naturopathic doctors can prescribe drugs.
Interesting.
Because, you know, like you said before, it's not the drug, it's how it's used. It's not the gun, it's how it's used. Thank God for insulin.
Yeah.
Every time I'm in the dentist chair, I thank God for lidocaine, for goodness sakes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. But it's absolutely correct that in the wonderful world of, you know, modern American medicine, it's the allopathic reductionistic pharmaceutical method, which is everywhere all of the time. And the the allopathic method is fantastic for what you and Dave Janda did. Surgery right. when it's necessary. Surgery when it's necessary and trauma care. It's fantastic for that. It's the right dog for that hunt. But for everything else, I mean, honest to God, for nah. most of the conditions that most people go to the doctor for, it's not healthcare. It's right. disease management. It's disease management. You get right. more dependent on the drugs over time. You get weaker. And then the last 10, 15 years of your life, it's a revolving door to the emergency room. It's horrible.
Yep. That's exactly true.
But I digress. Okay, so what we find in medical nutrition, which is what my profession specializes in, is that there are 90 essential nutrients that the human body needs in order to function the way that nature intended it. 90. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 fatty acids. And these are called essential because the body needs them, but it can't make them. So an essential nutrient has to go down the hatch on a regular basis. You have to feed the body essential nutrients. And lo and behold, lithium is an essential nutrient. So if your body is deficient in lithium for whatever reason, usually it's because of a poor water supply, or you're eating food that sucks lithium out of the body, you're going to develop a deficiency. And as you develop a deficiency in an essential nutrient, it's only a matter of time until something breaks. So your joints go, or your heart goes, your lungs go, or your kidneys go, or your skin goes. And then you're in trouble. And then you got to go to a medical professional. But the only insurance your medicine pays for is allopathic pharmaceutical medicine. So you go to somebody, and they have no idea that these illnesses are caused by nutrient deficiencies. And they just throw a drug at it.
Right.
Now, you know, it's better than suffering, but a better step, which is what we advocate, is to attempt to fix it. And this is what my profession brings to the table: science-based, clinically verified therapeutics, the intention of which are to help your body recover its health. And I got to tell you, man, that's just a beautiful thing.
Well, I think that's awesome. And I think I have to ask you some other questions specifically, but I do think this is where we should have been all along. And it's interesting. I one time watched my son, who's also a physician, but when he was training, and I don't even remember in 1976 at the University of Rochester ever having a nutritional lecture. So I shouldn't criticize him too badly, but he had a few hours of nutritional lectures. And the point that he was making, he was showing me on the computer how he could actually, unless he had a lab, he didn't even go into medical school. He just did it on the computer and he could speed it up, slow it down. He was showing me how actually that was better learning. But he happened to just choose this nutritional lecture that he was getting. And I saw that lecture for about 15 minutes and I said, oh dear God. And he said, okay, Mom, I don't eat that way. I just have to pass the test. I mean, it was so wrong. It was like, again, I've come to believe purposefully wrong. We are being poisoned by big business, big pharma, big ag altogether that they're feeding us a bunch of very bad things. So
that's an excellent point. And you know, I came to the same realization a number of years ago. And look, you know, medicine is like dogs. There's a lot of different dogs and they're all good for different things. I mean, if you went duck hunting with a chihuahua, guaranteed you're coming back empty-handed. That's the wrong dog for the hunt. So, you know, there's chiropractic medicine. I think a good chiropractor is worth their weight in gold. There's acupuncture, Ayurvedic medicine, botanical medicine, homeopathy, naturopathic medicine, allopathic medicine, all these different types of medicine, and they're really good at certain things.
Right. And I think we confuse, by the way, homeopathy and naturopathy.
That is a big point of confusion, and which is made even more confusing by the fact that historically, naturopathy and homeopathy were separate and distinct medical professions. And before the monopolistic takeover of the marketplace orchestrated by the Carnegies and the Rockefellers in the early 1900s, there were lots of homeopathic medical schools. There were more, I believe, homeopathic medical schools than any other type of medical school in the country, but they all went by the wayside after the Flexner Report,
right?
When Congress granted the American Medical Association exclusive control over who couldn't practice medicine. But the point here is that now, in the 21st century, the only place that you can get training, education, and clinical experience with homeopathy is at the naturopathic medical schools. So naturopathic doctors are taught a little bit of homeopathy, right? Okay. We're taught a little bit of a lot of things, all inside of the greater holistic framework. And it's I had a miracle cure with homeopathy when I was a senior at pre-med at the University of Massachusetts. It's why I became a naturopathic doctor.
Wow.
But you know, in a perfect world, all things being equal, there would be equal access to all of these different disciplines. Your medical insurance would pay for all of it. And universities would do research on all of it. And it would be a wonderful thing then if we had an even playing field. It's always been remarkable to me that people will get up in arms against, you know, corporate monopolies and, oh, there shouldn't be a communications monopoly and there shouldn't be a financial monopoly and there shouldn't be a food monopoly. And rightly so, but when it comes to medicine.
Oh, it's a huge monopoly, and it's...
And everybody's okay with it.
Well, not everybody. I think we're breaking away.
I hope so.
So and you're gonna help me break away. So I have one, here's a question that I get all the time, COVID. COVID people lose hair. A lot of women are complaining that after they survived the COVID, they got over it, whatever we want. That's a whole other discussion, but whatever we want to call it, that syndrome that people get, and hair loss does seem to be an issue. Now, I know part of it is just hormonal cycling, that we can blame some of it on that. But is there a nutritional answer for this? Because that's something that, you know, I don't think the Rogaine and all the pharmaceutical stuff is doing very much, to be honest.
So right. So there's a saying in diagnostic science that when you hear hoofbeats, you think about horses before you think about zebras.
Right.
Right. Now, you've got to have the correct data points in order to be able to put those pieces together. So the first thing to consider when people experience hair loss, especially if it's after a physiological stress, is that their body has simply, because of the physiological stress, run out of the nutrients necessary to keep the hair healthy, and the body has a triage system. So if this is how many nutrients the human body needs to make everything run, when it starts running out of things, it's not gonna rob nutrients from the heart, it's gonna rob nutrients from non-essential tissue in order to keep the essential organs alive. So the first thing to consider with hair loss after, especially after a physiological stress, is it's a simple, undiagnosed, unrecognized nutrient deficiency syndrome. And this brings to light a very important point that only myself and my colleagues are talking about, and this is important. So when most medical doctors start getting their feet wet or experimenting with medical nutrition, they'll use nutrients and vitamins and minerals the same way that they were trained to use drugs. And Linus Pauling was the perfect example. Large doses of vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C, right? That's one nutrient. Right. And there was bang from that. There were positive effects from that, but there were also net negative effects, because in the human body, it's all about the balance. So using single nutrients, large doses of single nutrients, is referred to in my profession as fractionated nutrition. And it's better than no nutrition. But what's better than fractionated nutrition by a country mile is holistic medical nutrition. So instead of giving the body a boatload of three vitamins, you give the body everything that it needs, 100% of what it needs, and let the body sort it out, because this is the fundamental foundation philosophy that naturopathic medicine is based upon. The human body knows how to fix itself. The human body wants to fix itself. The human body is trying to fix itself, but it needs help, right? We need to put on clothes. We need to bathe the body. We need to give the body air. We need to give it water. We need to protect it from the environment. Well, guess what? There's a whole bunch of nutrients that the body also needs, but they're not in the food anymore.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. You are exactly correct. And this goes back to what I was trying to communicate a minute ago. As I've gone down the road here, right, especially with medical nutrition, myself and my colleagues have discovered 12 foods that people shouldn't even look at, let alone eat, because these foods are big, bad voodoo daddies, and they have net negative effects over time. And every single one of those foods, not just two or one or three, all 12 are what people eat all the time. And that could not happen by coincidence. I do believe that all of this was orchestrated a long time ago, that the food that we're eating is making us sick, and that the medicine that we have access to is only meant to manage the problem. And who wins in a situation like that? Pfizer, Moderna,
right.
GlaxoSmithKline, it's nuts.
Well, and that's one of the things I think that when I was still practicing orthopedics, woke me up to. A couple things woke me up to how bad our system was. One was how long it took to get newly understood physiologic truth into practice. It's like 20 years, I found that out. And so we know something is true today, and it usually takes 20 years to get into practice. And the half-life of truth is about 20 years. In other words, things we believe true today, 50% of them we will know are wrong in 20 years. So when they stand up and tell you, we absolutely know that ivermectin doesn't work, or whatever they're trying to tell you, they're probably, just on random chance alone, they're 50% wrong. But the other thing that really woke me up is how many people come in, and I was a spine surgeon, so I wasn't seeing them for medical problems, but they would come in, and it was the rare person over 70 who didn't have a string of 20 medications. Yeah. Now, one of the things I'm excited about is going to your kind of nutritional support, rather than having my own, in my own life, having to take 20 individual bottles of things and put them into a little, my ritual every 3 months, put them into these little cases, because I agree with you. We shouldn't be doing it that way. We should be doing it more naturally. So how do we do it?
Well, so you need the right dog for the hunt, right? I mean, if you, and it's a point that's well taken, you know, if you had a problem with a tooth, here's what you would not do. You would not do a web search and buy dental equipment and figure out how to fix a cavity and then try to do it yourself. You wouldn't do that.
No.
You would network for a really good dentist and then go to the really good dentist. So because of the medical monopoly that's been in place since 1912, nobody has any idea what naturopathic medicine is. Nobody knows how to pronounce it. Nobody knows what naturopathic doctors do. And in a perfect world, when people started to see the light and understood that pharmaceuticals can only take you so far, and that if you really want to build health, you need another strategy, well, they would go to see a licensed naturopathic doctor, because that's what we do. We're experts in that. We literally wrote the books on science-based clinically guided medical nutritions, but, you know, because people don't know that we exist, they don't. But we've got your back. We've got this dialed in.
Nice.
A colleague of mine years ago did $25 million, was in charge of $25 million of research. Took him 10 years. The resulting book that was published from all this research is in the Smithsonian Institution now. It's a national treasure. And it basically rewrote our understanding of the relationship between nutrients and health. It was a remarkable piece of work, and it really opened up whole new vistas in the wonderful world of medical nutrition. So what it boils down to is that in order for our bodies to work the way that God and nature intended them to, there are 90 nutrients that have to go into down the hatch on a regular basis. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 aminos, and 2 essential fats. But the problem is, and here's the tragedy, that this was reported to Congress in the 1930s. Minerals represent 66% of the body's nutrient needs, 2/3. Things like calcium and sulfur and zinc, right? Body can't make them, body needs them. Plants can't make them, animals can't make them. We need them. The only way that minerals get into the food is if they're in the soil. But the way that big agriculture has taught farmers to grow food depletes the minerals that are there. Now, there weren't enough minerals in the soil anyway, but when they use herbicide and pesticide to grow the food, they start cloning the food.
Right.
The amount of minerals that's in the food dramatically goes down, and we knew that in the 1930s. That was reported to Congress in the 1930s. The amount of minerals in the food is dramatically declining. So as the amount of nutrients, especially minerals, goes down, the amount of chronic disease goes up. And who's that good for? That's good for the pharmaceutical industry, right? So it's, and this is a simple fix. I mean, this isn't flipping rocket science, right? I mean, it's just like an automobile. You got to put oil in it. You got to put transmission fluid in it. You got to put air in the tires. You got to have power steering fluid. And you need to put the right fuel in the tank. Well, it's right. The same with the human body. So we need 90 nutrients, and we have figured out a recipe which secures all 90 nutrients, all 90, not just one or two in mega doses. But here's the very important point. All 90 in formulations which are synergistic in effect and which are easy for the human body to absorb.
Yeah,
for
instance,
that's a gigantic thing.
Yeah.
It's a gigantic thing. I told Dave Janda this story, and we still get a chuckle from it every now and then. Years ago, I had a patient who had a porta potty business in Florida. And I was telling him about that, you know, it's important the type of vitamin that you get, because you either absorb it or you don't. And he said, I understand what you mean. I see that all the time in my porta potty business. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, in Florida, the majority of people who live in Florida are elderly, and they all take Centrum Silver. And we dump out the porta potties, and guess what comes out? Centrum Silver. I said, how do you know it's a Centrum Silver and not, you know, a drug? He said, because you can read Centrum Silver.
So it's still readable. Oh, my God.
So it's a hard-pressed tablet with a shellac coating to make it easy to swallow, but
it doesn't get anywhere.
Doesn't get anywhere. This is a really big deal because, you know, it's not, ultimately, it's not what you swallow, it's what you absorb.
True.
And so, for instance, the calcium supplement that I recommend people to take, it's over 90% absorbed. Whereas an over-the-counter calcium supplement at the local health food store would be 15%. 100% absorbable if you were lucky. And these numbers make a difference. So we've put it all together. And oh, by the way, it's available at medicalrebelshop.com.
Well, and I'm looking forward to doing this because, like I say, I'm happy.
Okay, so that was a little bit of that conversation. You can go to her whole podcast and listen to more. I thought it was just an intriguing one about water and then about nutrition and then like some of the supplements we take that come right out. I totally see it. They're not, it is not about what you eat. It is about what is absorbed. What is absorbed. And that also goes for what microbes you have in your gut bacteria that are letting your body absorb the nutrients that it needs. And if you don't have a good microbes, then guess what? You're not absorbing. So there's a lot of what he's saying is so truth. And as a nurse who's been in the healthcare, I see that cycle he talks about is honest. I see it all the time until they die. So it is for years. So then let's go into talk about why did NAC go anywhere? And again, there's multiple brands. This is why a health coach is great too. Not just a, you can go see a doctor. He can give you a naturopath. You can get a doctor, but see a health coach. And they know some supplements. I mean, my husband had supposedly seen one that was a natural doctor. I don't think she was. So you can see one that is not. You can get fooled. And she was an idiot and not worth our time. So just saying you're a naturopath doctor because they can get away with that in certain states and not be licensed. As a bunch of baloonies. And understand that they're also limited to whoever they partner with when it comes to what they know with supplements and health. And there are multiple incredible and good and bad brands. I have messed around with a lot. I talk to my own naturopath friends about when I'm trying to take a particular herb or Chinese medicine. I had a acupuncturist who knew Chinese medicine and knew where to get the Chinese herbs that I wanted. So you have to see the people for the right stuff. Matter of fact, as I'm recording this, I make my own distilled water. And I'm like, gosh, I need to be taking that water to work more. Because the water at work, I can tell you, is full of crap. I taste it. When you taste your water and it doesn't taste good, guess what? You're drinking chemicals. You're drinking chemicals. And Anara water is great. And then you have, that takes all the minerals out. So you have to make sure you're taking your minerals and supplementing with minerals that way. But I need distilled water to make ozone water. So that's what I'm doing right this second. I'm making ozone water, something that I offer people. All right, let's go into this other doctor who talks about NAC. And I want you to, you know, what's NAC? What is it good for? And why do we want it?
Welcome back. This is Dr. Jin Song, where clinical excellence meets excellent results. Today we're going to talk about NAC, or N-acetylcysteine. It's a very potent antioxidant as well as an anti-inflammatory. So we're going to discuss some of the foods, the benefits of taking it, what can it affect, and some of the dosages that you can take to benefit from taking NAC. So the food sources are onions and garlic. NAC will go and convert to L-cysteine, and with some sulfur-containing foods, it will convert in the liver and make glutathione. Now, glutathione is a very important antioxidant, right? It's one of the most potent ones that our body can produce. So the benefits are that it helps the detoxification pathways, right? Improves insulin sensitivity or insulin resistance or diabetes, right? So it helps blood sugar management. Also, it's an anti-inflammatory. It affects cytokines. So things like tumor necrosis factor, interleukins, or NF-kappa B. It helps balance your immune system, right? So oftentimes we give patients glutathione for people who have autoimmune processes to help calm the inflammatory process and help calm the immune system. The other one we talked about was PCOS, and that relates to the insulin sensitivity, right? Brain. It affects dopamine centers as well as excitatory centers for glutamine, right? Dopamine is basically the pleasure neurotransmitter. So if you can affect dopamine, it will help with addiction, bipolar disease, depression, OCD, as well as anxiety. And there are quite a number of studies on this, how NAC can benefit patients who have OCD and the anxiety level that comes with it. Glutamate. The benefits of glutamate for some patients is that it will prevent or slow down Alzheimer's as well as Parkinson's disease over here. Okay. Another thing is it helps to thin out mucus in the lungs. So if you have pneumonia or if you have pulmonary obstructive disease, right, it can help thin the mucus and help the breathing aspect of these diseases. As a matter of fact, in the 1963, it was classified as a drug, and they used it for lung disease. Right? And they still use it for acetaminophen overdose or Tylenol overdose, because it can significantly impact the liver. So they use NAC as a drug, basically. Now, recently, they've had issues with the FDA, and Amazon basically removed all NAC products off their site. However, it is still commercially available and can be bought through nutrition stores and nutrition shops, okay? So, about dosages. When we look at NAC, you can take anywhere between 600 to 1800 milligrams a day in divided doses. It's best taken on an empty stomach. However, if you get things like nausea or loose stool, then you might want to take it after your meal. Okay. Things that will enhance NAC is things like selenium, cordyceps, and gotu kola. So with these combined nutrients with NAC, you can basically help to recycle glutathione and improve your antioxidant levels and improve overall health, right? Because when you have a lot of oxidation and stress to our body, what happens is tissues break down. Every cell in your body will take an oxidative blow. The glutathione is what that protective shield is. It helps you protect against oxidation as well as the inflammatory process. So NAC is a very important nutrient for a lot of different patients. So with respect to, let's say, COVID, and you have lung issues or breathing issues or mucus in your lungs, NAC can be of benefit for those patients who have a lot of lung and mucus built up within the lung structures, right? Obviously, they use things like prone positioning to help release some of the mucus, but as well as NAC being utilized, it would be the added benefit, okay? My name is Dr. Jim Sung, where clinical excellence meets excellent results, and we'll see you guys.
He's just one of them. I thought he brilliantly talked about NAC so well, and it is back on Amazon. You can get NAC on Amazon right now. It is something that is so beneficial to your liver. So when I talked about your liver and one of the things with the liver, that's one of the supplements or things I would talk about. I'm sorry if this isn't all so loud and it goes back and forth. It's hard to get other content and get it the right, you know, sound wise. So I'm not perfect at this. I'm just trying to get the content out there that is going to be beneficial. Thanks for listening. This is going to be a short and sweet one.